Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. That's what you do. You text me, time permitting. We'll try to get to some of your texts. Joining us now on the Life First Weekly Appearance, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party and also chairman of the Alabama Public Library Service. John Wall is with us on the line. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time as always. Well, it's been a bumpy ride this week, I'm not going to lecture you here. You know where I am on all of this, but we'll just kind of kick it off there. I mean, any regrets? Anything you would do differently dealing with this homeschool dust up?
I mean, look, you know, it's crazy. I was talking to someone yesterday. I was like, yeah, apparently I am the magnet for controversy. Between the library board and then this, we're stepping out on the homeschool issue. But look, for me, this is what good leadership has to do. And I get it. Hindsight's always 20/20. Could I've handled things better? Probably. But I'm never going to be sorry. I'm never going to be regret the fact that I read the 1819 news article talking about how AEA was beating the drums for increased regulations on homeschoolers. And I'm never going to regret that I got in the fight, because I think that's what leadership has to do. And look, I'm tired of watching conservatives be on the back foot. You know, they get in the middle of session, something comes up that we all knew was coming, and then we haven't set the narrative. We're on the back foot, and it gets pushed through at the last minute because conservative leaders weren't proactive and didn't take a stand on it. And so, no, I think, you know, look, do I wish people could understand my heart better? Yes. Do I regret having gotten in the fight and protecting educational freedom and standing up for homeschoolers and the rights of parents to be in charge of the children's education? Absolutely not. And I would do this every single time if this comes up. And if I ever stop, I think that's when we have a problem, when we have conservative leaders who get pushed in a box where they stop being effective. So, no, I'm glad I did it. I would do it again, because I think people's rights and people's educational freedom is too important for any of us to stay silent.
Well, it's not so much, I mean, you're right on the issue, but the tactics, I guess, and treating the Alabama Education Association as an honest broker here is where you part ways with me sometimes on it. I mean, that's what it comes down to, I think, for a lot of us, because it doesn't seem like these guys operate in good faith sometimes, that they just tell you what you want to hear.
Well, look, but here's the thing. I don't think we part ways. I think we're in complete agreement. And that's why I think there's been a misunderstanding. The reason that I put out a statement on it was to make sure that it was public and that the general population knew that they made this commitment, because without that, there's not accountability. And the bottom line here, this was not a phone call to the AEA where I'm like buddying up to them or there's some kind of love affair. This is about the fact that I wanted to hold AEA accountable. And that's why I called them. It was after I read the article and I shared the concerns in the article, and that I made it a priority to get involved, to call them and not to be friendly with them, but to hold them accountable. And the statement was the same thing. If I have a conversation behind closed doors and they agree to something, well, the public doesn't know about it. And I think transparency is important with communication, especially if you're dealing with a party that has not earned your trust, which is where AEA is at with me right now. They have not earned my trust. I do not believe them. And I want to make sure that we trust but verify. I put it out there publicly so there's accountability with their commitment.
Well, regarding the AEA, I don't know Brad Presnell and just how much of a spokesman or how much authorization he's gotten from the higher ups at AEA, but there seems to be a little revisionist history here, particularly with school choice. And I hear this all the time that we didn't oppose school choice, or we didn't oppose it like maybe you guys are saying we were, but that's just not true. I mean, and you could read their newsletters and directly quote Amy Marlowe, who's written copious amounts of op-eds and giving public comments as such on school choice, but that's just it. They're trying to have it both ways.
Well, and let's be clear, right now, they still oppose the party in the area of complete funding for school choice. I've been very strong on this. I want to see universal school choice where every single Alabama family has access to it. And we fully fund it, no matter how many people take that option. And the AA are still opposed to the party on that issue. So, no, you're absolutely right. And perhaps the thing that has upset me most, which kind of has not been the biggest issue, but it's the fact that AA, once this was public, and through Brad Presnell, and I'm like you, I don't know the authority, I don't know the chain of command, but he tried to turn conservative groups against each other, where he was attacking Alabama Policy Institute, and he was attacking 1819, and a conservative reporter there, and trying to pit them against the party. And I came out with a very strong statement and slammed him and the AEA for doing that, because that is not true. The people who have been consistent and are fighting for parental rights are the conservatives across the state. The party, Alabama Policy Institute, 1819, you can name Eagle Forum, you can name others. We've been united in defending the parental rights and defending people's educational freedoms and pushing school choice. And it's been the AEA who are dragging their feet. So don't try to split up the good guys. We need to stay united and speak truth, be bold, be courageous, and not back down or let a group that does not share our values create a narrative that is not true.
Well, and that's just the thing. So when you go talk to them, and then, you know, you say accountability, but time after time after time, they've contradicted themselves. There's just, you know, what do you get out of that? You could say, well, this is not what you told me 2 years ago. Well, you know, they do what they do. At the way you should handle the AEA, in my view, and this is just me speaking, is you defeat them. You don't. I mean, you look at ways to keep Republicans from cozying up to them because they stand against a lot of what the party platform says, and you defeat them at the ballot box. They have deep pockets. But you know, those of us with a long memories going back to the 90s and even before that, and the way the AEA treated Republicans or Republican values, just have a real, real issue here with thinking that there's any reason to even talk to these guys and not just beat them politically.
Yeah. Well, look, literally, I was the guy, you know, I'm the first chairman of the Republican Party who actually took full-on restrictive. In the past, it's just that, oh, we encourage you not to take their money. I, as chairman, literally introduced a rule myself, stepped down as chairman to argue it on the floor, taking that to the next level and saying, no, the AEA and the NEA, who are even worse, cannot contribute to Republican candidates for state and local school board because it's a conflict of interest, and their influence has a negative impact on good education. And I was very bold about that. So I think anyone who's trying to paint this as I somehow trust or love the AEA doesn't know history in Alabama politics. If you look at the record, I'm probably the guy who actually has stood up to the AEA more than anybody and held them accountable in school choice. Like, look, right after that rule change, they came to me. They did not like it. And I said, too bad. We're going to do the right thing no matter what. And they said, well, look, can we work with, you know, can we do this? I said, look, the only thing the party wants from AEA is for you to stop killing school choice, stop killing curriculum transparency, and stop killing divisive concepts. Now, I don't know if that had made any difference in what they were going to do, but those are the issues that the party fights for. Those are the values that we stand for, and we're unapologetic about it. So we have been strong against the AEA, and we're not going to back down. We have not watered down our rules. In fact, we've made them stronger since I've been chairman, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, I mean, there is, and it's been treated like a guideline, but there has been language in the past prior to the school board resolution that you guys passed a couple of years ago that said that Republicans should not take money. And it just kind of like became like just a token gesture, it seems.
And people ignore it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we had to increase the rules, because people just got to where they knew. I think the exact wording is we strongly discourage candidates from taking AA money, and people were just ignoring that you know, strong discouragement.
Because I think at that time, I mean, the language should have been tougher. But I think it's a matter of interpretation, and for whatever reason, over the years, it just became, like you said, people ignore the rule. Why isn't that rule given more credence among Republicans?
Well, and I think you're talking about, you know, Republican candidates more than the Republican Party. I think the fact that we passed that increase shows the values and the core of the actual state, you know, state GOP. most candidates, it's all about money. Their consultants are telling them, you got to, you know, you got to take the money wherever it comes from. And it's just, it's not painful enough not to take it, that they then feel like they, you know, they need the money to win. And look, most politicians, it's more about getting elected. It's more about power than it is anything else. And so when they have somebody dangling a check in front of them, that's where they're going to go. And we know this. Most elected officials are addicted to spending. You see it on the, and this is across the entire country. I'm not picking on anybody. You see it in the way they spend money, both their in government and in their campaigns. And so when you have somebody who's offering a large check, it's very easy to find a way to rationalize that in your mind and find a way to ignore a party, you know, an obscure party bylaw in order to take that check.
Well, I mean, is it, I mean, and I don't know if the votes would be there, but, you know, talk is cheap. Why don't we discuss an across-the-board ban from the Alabama Education Association to Republican candidates? I mean, they're very, very eager to enforce rules about, you know, giving to Democrats or supporting Democrats or, you know, whatever it may be, and it goes before the committee. And a lot of candidates over the years have been disqualified. Why isn't this more of a priority among some?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great question. We've seen party rules that have been strengthened in this area, but it's been me personally as chairman, which is not the normal process. And, you know, I don't know. I think there are some people out there that are, you know, right now that this has become an issue over, and maybe we'll see some movement on. I would call on those who, you know, may not be upset at me trying to, you know, may be upset with the process here and not like some of the decisions already. Well, yeah, maybe it's time they stepped up and introduced a rule and see what happens.
I mean, this is a group that backed Barbara Drummond in the Mobile mayoral race to the tune of $100,000, by far and away her biggest contributor. And I mean, yeah, she's a Democrat.
So look, it goes past that too, Jeff. When you look, they can claim that's a nonpartisan race. And I listened to the interview with Brad Presnell, where Dale Jackson kind of pinned him in on that. And he was like, well, the other candidate never called us. Well, let me give you a different example completely. Back in 4 years ago, in the 2022 election cycle, there were two House districts up in the Huntsville area that were target party districts, close districts. The AEA at the last week gave money to not the Republican candidates, but the Democrat candidates. And I have used that. I've talked about that a lot since then, because it highlights when the rubber meets the road, where is AA going to go? And it's not always in the Republican direction, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's clear to me they go in the Republican direction when it suits their needs, because Republicans are in power, so they know they go with safe Republicans and give them money. And the Republicans, the Republican candidates are the ones, I mean, Chairman, and you were there.
When y'all I was there. I saw it. I was upset about it, right?
Yeah, but you were there when y'all passed the school board ban. And, you know, you had all these lawmakers who, for whatever reason, sat on the executive committee, and then that motion gets up and it gets tabled. What did they do? They got up and they left, and then you bring it back up and it gets voted and it passed. But it's to me, that's just a glaring example of the problem here, that, you know, you want to be a part of the Republican Party and there needs to be ground rules, just as you don't support Democrats if you want to be Republican. Well, the AEA seems to be kind of in that same neighborhood.
Yeah, well, look, the bottom line is they have a different value system and they have a different priority. And I'm not even going to blame them for this. Look, we need to be, you know, I believe in openness and honesty and looking at this fairly. And they have a different mission. Like, they were created to look out for the interest of teachers and school bureaucrats. That's why they exist. The Republican parties in this area of education, we want to look out for educational freedom and the parents and the students. And that's just a different goal. It's always going to be, it always will be. And it just by nature, there's going to be different priorities. And so I think you're spot on. I think my message, what I want to leave is, look, we can't let outside forces divide the conservative movement. We are standing for what's right. We're standing for parents. We're standing for improving our education. We need to remain united and committed to continuing to fight. Different people may have different strategies for how to get there, but we should respect each other.
Well, last question, we'll wrap it up on this, because we've seen the creep, the AEA getting back in its good graces and getting into the Republican Party. How do you stop that trend from proceeding any further than it already has?
Yeah, well, I think it's through things like this where we one, pin back their negative effects. Damage control is always number one, right? We have to stop them from gaining ground with policies that may be negative to the freedom of education and parental rights. That's number one. Number two is then the deeper building blocks of how do we institutionally get this in front of the voters? Because at the end of the day, it's the voters who make the decision. And if AEA, you know, and what they stand for is opposed to parents, what parents want, at the end of the day, that's how you beat them, is at the voting box. And educating the electorate on what's going on, what's happening, and why this matters.
Jerry, we got to leave it there a little long, but always appreciate your time, and we'll do it again next week.
Good to be on the show.
Thank you. Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.